Rolling into the Tuesday edition. What's going on? I am Jim Rome. Welcome to the program. It is the Jungle. We are live in the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, you know Rocket can. All right, so good day. Lots to get done. Let's get at it. Why don't you go ahead and take your best shot right now and try to get through. Phone lines are open. What I am going to do today is go back-to-back starting at 940. So the best chance to get through is right off the very top, 1-800-636-8686. Now, when I say back-to-back, what I mean is coming up at 940, the quarterback of the Cincinnati Bearcats, Desmond Ridder. They're having an amazing year. That's coming up at 940 Pacific and 1240 Eastern. Top of hour number two. I feel like I have not paid enough attention of late to the Bills Mafia, Jordan Poyer. You know this is a big Jordan Poyer house. It's a big Bills Mafia house. We'll have him at the top of the second hour. Then we are wide open until the last segment of the show. At that point, Michael Lombardi joins me. So it's good day. Good football day. In fact, a little getaway day for me. I'm going to mix in a run to Las Vegas right after the program and back. Get after it, yo. New York last weekend. Vegas today. All right, so you have your phone number. The XR4TI is intact. You've got to get through the EP. Chalk to get to me, to get on the air. Hit him up, 1-800-636-8686. If you want to hit me up on Twitter, that works too, at Jim Rome. And yes, we will read email. Email address is Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveitake.com. All right, so since it's Tuesday, you know I'm going to start with a recap of Monday. Before I recap Monday, let me go back to Sunday. Sunday was not a great day for NFL football. Yeah, I know. I did reference that yesterday. I mention it again right off the top, though, because I want to say that last night did not exactly redeem the weekend, if you feel me. I mean, it's not like one game Monday night was going to salvage an otherwise sort of crappy weekend football-wise, right? One game was not going to rectify that, especially if that one game was Saints v. Seahawks. But damn, give us something, anything, anything but that. Per usual, if they're not paying me to watch that game, I am watching something else. Yes, it was that bad, that ugly. Missed field goals, stupid penalties, and one of the weirdest TDs you're ever going to see. However, because I'm not that guy, because I'm a glass half full guy, let me focus on the good stuff first. Let me focus on Geno Smith hitting DK Metcalf for a touchdown in the first quarter.
Quarterback Smith is under center. Snap, spin, fake handoff, deep drop, winds up far pass, far side. It's caught by Metcalf over the shoulder at the 40, down the sideline, breaking a tackle, 50. Down the sideline, the 40, chase to the 30, the 20, the 10, chasing him into the end zone. Touchdown, Seattle, DK Metcalf. Beautiful throw by Smith. An 84-yard strike, and Seattle is scored first.
Huge play early for Geno Smith.
Westwood won. Now you see a play like that and you think, time to pop some corn. I.e., get my popcorn ready, because we are going to have ourselves a game. We are going to have ourselves a night. Something that will help us forget everything that happened the day before. Weren't you thinking that? I know I was. I was wrong. And wrong. So was anybody else who was thinking that. So was anybody else thinking that last night would be worth our time. Because that was it for Seattle highlights. One in the first quarter, and that was pretty much the end of the show. And the crazy thing was, after that play, Metcalf was not even targeted again until the fourth quarter. But there was still another highlight left. Still another highlight left in this game, and that was the touchdown from Jameis Winston right before halftime.
13 of Seattle, first and 10. Shotgun snap is low around his knees. He drops it. Winston picks it up. There's a wobbly pass to the 10. Caught on the sideline. Kamara at the 5. Breaks a tackle. Inside the pylon. Touchdown. He got in. He snuck in. Kamara with a 13-yard catch and run. And New Orleans has grabbed their first lead tonight just before halftime.
That's not something you see very often. Fumble the snap, barehand the ball off the rug, throw for a TD. Pretty impressive. Of course, Alvin Kamara can do that for you, but pretty impressive. I mean, Jameis was not exactly electric last night, but that is a reminder of the things that he can do. That's a reminder of how much he's grown as a player. Look, I'm not saying that he is the second coming of Drew Brees, but I am saying a few years back, that's a fumbled snap that probably turns into a pick six. In fact, I can pretty much guarantee it.
I guarantee it.
But here, it's a fumbled snap, which he somehow converts into a Saints touchdown. Now, that officially ends the highlight portion of the game and this take, because the rest of the game was pretty much unwatchable. This is when I had to start to break out my positive affirmations. This is when I had to break out that rubber band on my wrist. And every time I started to reach for the remote, I would tell myself, they're paying you, they're paying you, they're paying you, they're paying you. Do the work, do the work, do the work. They're paying you. It doesn't matter how you feel. Do the job. It doesn't matter how you feel. Do the job. Nobody gives a damn how you feel. Do the job. I'm just telling myself, it doesn't matter how much this game sucks. Watch the game. It doesn't matter how much this game sucks. Watch the game. So, warrior that I am, I somehow got through it. And so did the Saints. And credit to them for going on the road and handling their business. You know, sort of like I did for my couch in my home. And a lot of credit to Cam Jordan for dropping this in the post game.
I think that in a game like this, where things get close, things get a little ugly towards the end, it builds confidence to be able to come into a game like this and close it out the way we did. In my mind, it wasn't as close as it was. I think that our defense played with a lot of speed and intensity and the right mindset the entire game, albeit that one play, explosive, the one explosive that they had from the King Orc Smurf.
Wait, what? Did my man just go with a King Orc Smurf blast?
The King Orc Smurf.
Did he just call DK Metcalf King Orc Smurf? It seemed like he did. And if he did do that, it's pretty awesome. Until he then quickly corrected himself, sort of. Quote,
I'm spazzing on his name. DK Metcalf. Ooh, sorry.
I'm spazzing on his name. Oh, DK Metcalf. Sorry. Yo, my dude, apology. Apology not accepted. Apology not accepted. Because you got nothing to be sorry for. I don't know who or what the hell a King Orc Smurf is. I just know that that dog of a game needed something like that to make it better.
The King Orc Smurf.
Yeah, that made it better. So thank you for providing it, big dude. And yo, hey, 12s, where are you at? It was not that long ago that was arguably the most hostile building in the entire league. One of the last places you ever wanted to go if you were a visiting team. Now, everybody is looking at their calendar, hoping they get to go to Seattle. Because this year, everybody is getting a dub in Seattle. Titans, W. Rams, W. Saints, W. So now the real test comes on Sunday, because look who's coming to town. Jacksonville. And if Seattle loses that game, Pete Carroll, one of the best coaches of the last 20 years, ought to walk the hell off the field and not come back. I know his team is busted up. I know they're not the same team without Russ. Just like I know the Jags are coming off a bye. But if you're Pete Carroll and you let Urban Meyer come into your house, punch you in your face, you can go ahead, resign on the spot, and tell USC that you want your old job back before Herb beats your ass and then beats you to USC to get that job before you do. Hey, listen, I'm not even clowning. The way the Seahawks are playing right now, this is a very real possibility. Like, I knew things were going to be tough without Russ, especially in that division, but I had no idea it would be this bad. After he jacked up his digit against the Rams, I came on this show and I said, Seattle's season is in danger. I just didn't think that Seattle's season was already over, but it was. I knew Seattle would struggle. I did not think they would completely implode. But that's what they did last night. Again, dumb penalties, missed field goals, poor execution. They did it all. Hell, lose to the Jags. They were the Jags. And if kicker Jason Myers missed another field goal, Peyton Manning's pink head was going to explode. Now, I don't want to say it's all on the fact that Russ isn't there, but when you look at it, man, it kind of feels that way, doesn't it? However, this team has been in each of the last three games. They just have not won any of the last three games. It is Seattle's first three-game losing streak in a decade. It's the first time they've lost their first three games at home in nearly 30 years. There are three straight games where Geno Smith had a look at becoming a hero. It just didn't work out. There was that pick against the Rams. There was that fumble in OT against the Steelers. And then the back-to-back sacks with less than 2 minutes to go, down three last night.
After the Seahawks quarterback. Oh, they come in with Jenkins on a blitz, and they bring him down. Like he froze. He saw Jenkins coming, and he froze. And he goes down the fourth sack for the New Orleans defense. Third and 18, shotgun snap from the 18. Here he's being chased, and he's brought down from behind to Mario Davis. Got him as he was trying to flee a pocket that was crumbling.
Hey, 12s, I'm not here to pile on. I'm just here to tell you the way it is. And if you don't know how much the rest of the nation enjoyed seeing that, then I'm not sure you really know what the rest of the nation thinks about you and your act. Like, Geno Smith could have gone legend, maybe even saved their season by running a successful two-minute drill and punching it in. Unfortunately, he picked a bad time to remember that he was Geno Smith and take a couple of sacks, and then that was that. I'm not putting it all on him. I'm not putting it all on him. Believe me, there was plenty of Seahawk idiocy to go around last night. There was Marquise Blair with an all-time dumb personal foul on Jameis Winston on a third down sack.
Here's the pressure. Winston able to step up. Got him by the leg, and now he'll take a big shot. And the flag comes in.
Personal foul. Roughing the passer. Defense number 27. It's an automatic first down.
Wow. He cocked his right arm as he entered into contact and caught Jameis right below the chin.
Like in real time, it looks sort of borderline, but then in watching the replay, that was a brain-dead moment. Oh! And it was not the only one either. Because as well as Al Woods was playing, he did this.
Hit from 21 earlier. This from 42. And it's going to get a little closer.
Wow.
Oh! By a little closer, you mean a first down? How do you jump offside on a field goal like that? Especially when the other team has a kicker who is appearing in his first NFL game and about to attempt a 43-yarder. So that gave the Saints a first down, and they burned a bunch more time off the clock, and eventually they just hit a point after, or a 33-yard field goal. And then that was that. Thanks for coming, 12s. See y'all next year. Or maybe never again, depending on how they handle Russ and his situation. Or how Russ handles them and their situation. I think it's time for Russ to turn his phone around once again and have another, Hey, Seattle. Conversation. Because it looks bad. And it would appear that it could get worse before it gets better. Especially if Herb comes into their house and does them.
That's devastating.
Right about now, I think that I would trust Russ throwing with his offhand more than Geno with his right hand. I think right about now, I might trust Russ throwing the football with his feet more than Geno with his hand. Not putting it all on Geno. Like I said, there was a lot of Seahawk idiocy to go around last night. But they're unrecognizable, the Seahawks. That's not what you expect. Not in their house and not in prime time. Hey, listen, I don't want to be unfair or unnecessarily harsh to Geno Smith. It is not Geno Smith's fault that he is Geno Smith. It's just not. It's unfair to say that it is. I'm just saying they were unrecognizable. That team in that house in prime time, looking like that, making stupid mistakes like that, taking dumb penalties like that, not executing. Like, I don't even know you anymore, 12s. I know I don't know your football team anymore. And I'm telling you, man, if Herb comes in and does them, Who do you think is going to get to the phone faster to call USC?
Get out of Dodge.
Pete or Herb? 1-800-636-8686. Oh, and USC, this pipe dream about Mike Tomlin? Yeah, I don't know. Like, if in fact Carson Palmer said it, then maybe like it could happen, because I can't see that happening. I just have the utmost respect in Carson Palmer. Yeah, if I'm UFC, I'd try. If I'm USC, I would try. But isn't Mike Tomlin set to make like 10 mil? And 10 mil in Pittsburgh is how much in LA? 30? You're going to pay Mike 30 a year. Hey, if I'm Mike Tomlin and they offer me 30 mil a year, I'm coming. All right, so that's Monday Night Football. Man, you got to give it to me now. That's a lot of mileage for a bad game that
for
I just
real.
Got. You tell me to break? Why?
For real.
For real. 1-800-636-8686 is your telephone number. Before I tell you what else we've got going today, let's see if we have any reaction. At Blitz Team Savage, quote, can we get Seattle out of primetime games? Signed, the world. You see, 12s, this is what I mean. This is what the world thinks about you. And now that you are just another team and not a good one at that, it's all coming around. To answer your question, Macho Savage, yes, you can. The NFL can do that. The NFL can do whatever the hell they want. At Great Blue Dini 4, early on into that game, I started hoping Peyton and Eli would flip the channel and start giving their commentary on Shark Tank reruns. Actually, those guys kind of saved it, like they always do. I've got a thought on that a little bit later on. Hedstrom Bacon, the real highlight of last night's game was Brady telling Peyton and Eli that, quote, defense is kind of like a dog chasing a car. Ryan in Sacktown, quote, JR, we are officially quitting the show to pursue careers in the National Football League. Regards, Paul's dog and Ernesto's dog. Cody Collins tweets, I don't know, Rome. I had a blast at that game. Signed, that drunk lady scaling the side of the broadcast booth looking for a nightcap.
34-yard line. Again, impressive coverage by Anthony Avery.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
That was audio I had yesterday. During the Bengals beatdown of the Ravens, the Ravens broadcast crew had a woman try to get into the broadcast booth, and apparently she was looking for a cocktail.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
I don't know. How do you confuse a broadcast booth with a bar? Those guys with the headsets, do they look like bartenders? I know this. If you're looking for another one and you're looking for it in a radio broadcast booth, you've already had like 15 too many. Wells. For some reason, this guy keeps getting in. Who's the gatekeeper on this crap, Chuck? Wells, quote, if the Jaguars... Hey, Chuck, you know the best thing to do? This is going to hurt you. This is going to hurt you a hell of a lot more than it hurts me. But you know the best thing you do for the show right now? You let me play this song. Every time something happens. Get it, Eddie Munster. Just kidding, Chuck. You know, my man went to Columbia. He ain't
People
playing.
Love Michael Chocolates.
Neither am I. I love that song. Even if you weren't here, Chuck, I would play that song. Billy Donovan comes up. I play that song. Even if he weren't here, I'd play that song. I've been kind of toying with the idea of blowing Iggy Pop out off the top of the hour and just going with a Munster theme song. Anyway. Good cereal too, dude. Wells in the 360, if the Jaguars come to Seattle and they beat the Seahawks next week, I will go full Danica and lick Ritz's head. Then I'll go butthurt CJ in the Bay and I'll quit the show.
Duval!
And finally, throw with his feet? I'm interested. Signed, Rex Ryan. Wore writ in the box.
Foot, feet, toes.
That's something amazing. Do you remember when Rex Ryan was like one of the most beloved coaches in the NFL? Seriously. The only coach that I could remember at that time that inspired more love, I mean actual love, was his old man. People loved Buddy Ryan, and people loved Rex Ryan.
Let's go to eat a goddamn snack.
Everybody's putting their best foot forward.
And now he's just known as the guy who had that foot fetish. God, man, time is weird.
You know, you get your foot up in the air and want to go out there and just put your best foot forward. He's a great player. He's got great feet. We've had some younger players really step up this year. You know, he has good feet. He's another guy who has great feet. You know, you're putting your best foot forward out there and making it happen. Just us going out there and being good little foot soldiers, you definitely have to be on your toes.
That is such an amazing rant that Wes Wechler went with. Because that was at that time when the Patriot way was stronger than ever before. You just did not. I mean, you see Tom Brady acting the way he is right now because for 20 years he was not allowed to act the way he wanted to act. That was Wechler right in the middle of that, getting off that blast. That was incredible.
You can't just stick your toe in the water.
We're just good little foot soldiers.
And want to go out there and just put your best foot forward. He's a great player.
I guarantee the hood must have read Wechler, the riot act. And I guarantee Wechler probably didn't care. And nor should he. Belichick benched him for a half. Or check that one series. Yeah, let that be a message to you, Wechler. You don't get to play this series. We're not having that. That is not the Patriot way.
Bench the salt.
Surprised he didn't just bench him for the coin toss.
Bench the salt.
Surprised he didn't say, you're not allowed to go out there for warm-ups. We're not having that around here. That's not the Patriot way. You and your little foot soldier bullcrap.
Everybody's putting their best foot forward.
I think that'd be a good time, Alvin, for you to play break. There is your show open. Break. So, you know, I'm always looking out for you, right? Let me talk to you about the best sports betting app I've ever seen. WynnBET. That's right, WynnBET. The luxury hoteliers are now in the digital sports betting space, and they are offering that same five-star service that you are used to from Wynn Resorts, all in the form of a sports book and a casino app. So whether you're playing money lines or props for NFL Week 8, or totals and live betting for College Football Week 9, WynnBET has got it all. And all the biggest events are right here at WynnBET, and they have added a search bar to help you navigate their already amazing app. It gets so much better. WynnBET is now fully integrated with Wynn Rewards. It is the best loyalty program in the industry. So see their site for all the details. Whether playing from your phone or your computer, you've got to sign up for WynnBET ASAP. Bet with the very best. Get into the game. Offer is subject to change. Terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. You do have to be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or somebody you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
All right, quick heads up. It's going to be a short segment because I ran pretty heavy in the first. So keep that in mind. I don't want you to be shocked. O'Reilly Auto Parts specializes in keeping your car on the road. Not sure how much life is left in your battery? Well, the professional parts people at O'Reilly will test your battery for free. If it does need to be replaced, they will help you find the right one to fit your car. This month at O'Reilly is Superstar Battery Month. You can get up to a $25 gift card after mail-in rebate with the purchase of your Superstar battery. Built to handle even the toughest conditions, return power, performance, and reliability to your car, your truck, your motorcycle, and more with Superstar batteries available only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. They do offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. You can order online at O'ReillyAuto.com. You can pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They will even bring it out to you curbside, or you can choose to have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35. Get your auto parts quickly with O'Reilly Auto Parts. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com. In addition to breaking down last night's game, which I've already done, I do want to talk more about the Mannings. I guess I'm past the point of being shocked at how good that is, but it's really good. Really good. And then they book it accordingly, and it gets even better. We are talking Cincinnati Bearcat football. next segment. Really quickly, at Clubber 1633-4068, quote, yo, Jim, that football field in Seattle last night wasn't drenched by rainstorm. It was covered with the tears of the 12th bags, realizing their team is ass. Again, it's not me piling on. I'm just saying, as a fan base, 12s, if you're not a 12, people don't like you. They're not the most likable fan base. Not that any fan base is, right? Because nobody likes any other fan base. But I think there are certain fan bases that people like less than they dislike other fan bases. That makes sense. What I'm saying is 12s, people enjoyed that. And they are enjoying it. Especially when you keep losing at home. Gordon tweets, Herb is looking at Seattle like Danica looks at a tenderoni.
Stayed to see the grandkids.
That's good. That's strong. You don't want that to be true. And there is some truth to that. It's not a bad night, man. It's a bad season. And right now, a bad team without Russ. Todd Porter, 72, quote, the Jets are the Danica. Man, the Queen's getting some run today. The Jets are the Danica of the NFL. All they do is go to the draft, get drunk, find tenderoni QBs, take them home, and ruin them.
Now, I'm out of money for season tickets, and the only thing I can do is go to the game, get drunk, find a little tenderoni, and take them home for the night and ruin him. I'm out.
More lady clones.
More lady clones.
You know, like, if that had been just some random fan on the street or some random fan on some random local newscast, and I had that soundbite, it would be in the archive and it would get run all the time. I am so proud of the fact that that is jungle generated. That happened here.
Duval!
She is the queen. That is Danica from Jacksonville, and she made that call to this program. Like, that's got our water stamp on it. So into that. Because if that had just happened anywhere else, you know, like the other queen, like she said what she said, and it didn't happen on this show, but we play it all the time. I can't claim that as our own. That was a great moment. But Danica, she did say that here. And finally, at Lanier Messenger.
Psych.
Yeah, that one. That's
a great
moment.
My favorite thing about the Grove, hands down, is the alcohol. It's not always free, but it's always there. So, yeah, alcohol, hands down. Answer your question. Next question.
Okay, but you can get that at the square, right?
My favorite thing about the Grove is getting to meet people and see everyone from other schools that you know, and you run into people, and it's, I don't know, it's just fun. It's like a big party. And
well, to me, it sounds like you don't care that much about school spirit.
I love school spirit, but, like, let's not get me wrong. Like, I wouldn't have school spirit without
vodka.
A couple of vodka waters.
Like that's an amazing soundbite. But I can't claim that as our own. Hey, school spirit's great. Oh, I've got it. Just understand I have a lot more of it when I have my vodka.
My favorite thing about Ole Miss is the education that I receive here. Psych.
In other words, that's not her favorite thing about Ole Miss. At Lanier Messenger, which is still my favorite handle, Twitter handle, thank you for the bleak highlights of last night's game. I'm glad I watched Dancing with former NFL stars instead to see better moves. It's a bad game last night. It just was. And I'm not saying I had high hopes, but when DK Metcalf got off early, I'm like, all right, this is going to be good. I know it's going to be better than I thought it was going to be, and then it turned out to be worse than I thought it would be. As far as Mike Tomlin, he told ESPN regarding USC rumors, quote, I don't have time for that speculation. That's a joke to me. I have one of the best jobs in all of professional sports. Why would I have any interest in coaching college football? Never say never, but never. There's not a booster with a big enough blank check. All right, so we waited how long for that? When did he drop that first tweet? when he promised straight fire, and then we never got it. That right there is straight fire. There is not a booster with a big enough blank check. I said it myself. If the guy's going to make $10 million in Pittsburgh, how much is that in L.A.? 30? Right about now, he may not even take 30 to come here. All right, so that's the end of that. So it's back to Pete and Herb. Allegedly. Just playing around. Maybe not. All right, let's get out. I'm Will. Albie, I'm gone. I'm done. When we come back, Desmond Ridder, quarterback of the Bearcats, joins us. And then at the top of the hour, I've got Jordan Poyer. Here is your sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
That is true. I am Jim Rome. I am live in Southern California. Buffalo Bill, Jordan Poyer, top of the hour. But as I mentioned, we are joined right now by the quarterback for the University of Cincinnati, a 2020 American Athletic Conference Offensive Player of the Year. First team all-conference last season, 176 yards passing and a couple of TDs in Saturday's win over Navy. Cincinnati is 7-0 on the season. They are number two in both polls, and they are at Tulane on Saturday. We are joined by their quarterback, Desmond Ridder. Desmond, so good to have you on the show. How are you?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. I really appreciate it. So let me ask you about the win over Navy first. You went to their place. You beat them. The Academy is never an easy team to deal with. May not have been a perfect game per se, but how much pride it is there in the fact that you went on the road and you won a tough game and found a way to get it done.
Yeah, no, it's huge. Going against, the United States Navy, we know it's going to be a four-quarter game. We know that they're going to play their hardest and never stop fighting. So we knew that going into it, and, we knew we just had to put our hand down and execute, which, like you said, we didn't do the best of, but we had a lot to learn from and a lot to get better with.
Desmond Ridder is joining us. Really is something. The team is undefeated. You are number two in the country. I got to know, what's the mood like around the program, around campus? What's the vibe like overall? How would you describe it?
I would say it's very energetic. Especially around campus and around the community. But, for us in the program and on the football team, we're just taking it day by day. We're looking to get better every single day, at practice and film and in meetings. But other than that, we're just taking it day by day and week by week.
I would imagine, you're pretty even keel about this, and I think that's a big reason why you and the program is where it is right now. You've been a part of building this thing from the moment you arrived. Was this always the vision you had for the program, or maybe does it feel even a little bit bigger than you first imagined?
I would definitely say it feels a little bit bigger. Every single year, our goal is to win championships. And when I say that, I mean conference championships. So, every year we go in and we prepare our off season to go in and win a conference championship. And then everything else after that is just a bonus for us. So, right now we're just focused on, obviously our game against Tulane. But then you look into the future and, we're looking at that conference championship. And then, once we win and play in that conference championship, it just kind of out of our hands from there.
Cincinnati quarterback Desmond Ridder is joining us. So if you were to go back to when you were in high school, you had an offer from Cincinnati and Eastern Kentucky. So at that time, what kind of vision did you have for your future?
I just knew that, once I had got the Cincinnati offer and, my mom told me to stay within 6 hours of home. So I gave her an hour and a half. We visited campus, saw it was beautiful. Liked the coaching staff, loved the program. Being from Louisville, we had the keg and nails rivalry against Louisville and Cincinnati. So I kind of knew the history of Cincinnati. I saw there was a place where I could go, I could play early. So I just loved it here. And I think the rest is history after that.
Dude, mom's had to be so pumped when you kept her within 90 minutes. Then when she gave you a six-hour window and you said, I got this, we'll do it in an hour and a half. Your teammates talk about you as a leader and how you motivate and inspire them. I'm curious, what's it mean to you to be one of the leaders on this team? And then how do you approach that role of leadership?
It's a huge honor for me to, not only be considered as a captain, but also, one of the main leaders on the team. You know, we have a bunch of seniors and a bunch of super seniors, like Joel DeBlanco, Kobe Bryant, Darian Beavers, that, you know, do a great job also of helping lead this team. You know, I think without these guys, you know, we wouldn't be where we're at today. And, you know, it's not just the leadership, but it's also the maturity that not only myself, but all these other leaders kind of put throughout the whole team that makes us who we are and how we play.
Desmond Ridder is joining us once again. So you've also worked with my guy Jordan Palmer, who's right down the road from where I'm sitting right now. I'm curious, what was that experience like, and what was your biggest takeaway from your time with him?
Yeah, no, so growing up, you know, I would always watch, you know, NFL Path to the Draft, and, you know, I would always see JP, you know, training always the top quarterback. So growing up and then throughout high school, you know, I've always wanted to work with him. Being from, you know, Louisville, Kentucky, you know, I've never got the chance to get out there. But this past offseason, I was fortunate enough to be able to go out to California twice and to work with him. And you know, he just always tells me, you know, just keep working, keep pushing. You know, you're going to be good, you're going to be great, but just keep working. You know, I'm always looking to get better in any way possible. And, you know, I think he's going to be a great person to have in my corner to help me be the best I can be.
Cincinnati quarterback Desmond Ridder is joining us. Now, your daughter was born earlier this year. How is she doing, and how much are you enjoying life as a girl dad?
She's doing well. She just 6 months, a couple days ago, so she's getting big. We're not to crawling yet, but she's sitting up. We're starting to slowly introduce some foods to her. She's not liking it much, but we're trying. But, no, she makes me the best version of myself I can be, you know, both on and off the field. She pushes me to be the best person I can be, and, you know, she's just a blessing in my life.
That is so cool. There's also a story that I think a lot of parents can relate to. Before she was born, you and your girlfriend spent a few hours putting together a crib in the living room, and then when you went to move it into your daughter's room, it would not fit through the door. I guarantee that you're not the first couple to have that happen. What did you do about fixing that situation? How did you handle that?
Yeah, no, so that was definitely a frustrating situation at the time. Because myself, I'm kind of a perfectionist. So when it wasn't perfect and it didn't fit perfectly through the door, there was definitely some frustration and a couple hours spent on it, you know, taking the door hinges off, taking the door off, and then taking, you know, basically disassembling the crib to rebuild it back in the room. So it was definitely, you know, just like life is, lessons learned.
That is so great, my man. When you say that that was a frustrating moment, let me tell you, that will not be the only one. And they're awesome. They're incredible moments. I've got a couple of sons that are just, it's an incredible thing. But that will not be the only frustrating or challenging moment. Now, you could have entered the draft after last season, and you'd be on an NFL roster right now, which is the dream, of course, and you've worked really hard for that. How did you approach that decision at that time? And then how much of that was about making sure that there was going to be stability for your daughter?
Yes, sir. I would say, you know, a lot of it was, you know, stability for my daughter and my family. You know, just being here in Cincinnati, knowing the city, you know, just little things like, you know, knowing where the Kroger is and where the nearest hospital is and, you know, where the nearest Target is to go get her clothes. You know, that was really huge for me. But then, you know, you talk about on the field stuff and you talk about records, and I was close to, you know, some of the records here at UC. And, you know, after the Georgia game, a lot of people thought the Georgia game was going to be the deciding factor of whether I left or whether I stayed. And, you know, I was kind of had my mind made up before that. And, you know, I just knew that there was still something left on the table that I felt like we could achieve here as a team and as a university. And I think we're just kind of starting to see that played into fruition.
All right, so that's a great response. And in that sense, I understand that you're thinking about what's coming up this week. But since you did come back and you mentioned that there's still a lot left, I do get that. But when it's over, what do you want people to say about you and the team and your time there?
You know, I just really want people to, you know, say that the team really changed the university and kind of changed the way of the program and how people perceived us in the way before. You know, not only just as, you know, talk about group of five and this and that, you know, that we moved to the Big 12. And that was kind of Coach Fick's message, you know, when we kind of got here, was just leave the place better than what you found it. And, you know, I think that's kind of how we've kind of grown about our whole time here and whole career here is, you know, each and every year when these seniors leave and these new freshmen come in, you know, how are they going to see what the program and what the university looks like? So I just want to leave it better than what I found it and make sure that, you know, the young guys below me do the same.
Desmond Ridder, my guest. Really quickly, since you mentioned Coach Fick, I've always enjoyed my conversations with Luke Fickell over the years. What's he been like to play for?
Oh, he's been great. You know, he's a great people person, a great players coach. He's got an open door policy. You know, you can go talk to him whenever you want. And he's very down to earth. He's going to give it to you how it is. And, you know, he's a great coach, both on and off the field. And he's just a guy that, you know, you want to go play for. He has a chip on his shoulder just like everyone else does on the team. And I think, you know, he makes that known that, you know, we're going to be looked at as underdogs and we're going to be looked at as small. But that just keeps us driving and keeps us going. I think he does a great job of putting that out there, but also keeping everyone in control.
I think that's great. He is the quarterback of the University of Cincinnati. They are number 2 in both polls. They are 7-0. Next opportunity, next challenge. They are at Tulane on Saturday. Desmond Ridder is their QB. Desmond, really nice to talk to you. Great to have you on the show. Thanks so much for making time for us, and I really do appreciate the conversation.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir. Great job. Desmond Ridder, really impressive. Really impressive. I'm telling you, we are talking Bearcat football. We are talking Bengal football. There is a renaissance in the Natty. Have we ever talked so much Cincinnati football at one time? Bengals and Bearcats. It's one or the other or both every single day. And they've earned it.
We're on to Cincinnati.
Again, the Bearcats are number 2 in both polls. They're undefeated. The Bengals, if the playoffs were to start today, would be the top seed in the AFC. A little respect for the Natty. 1-800-636-8686. When we return, we're going to talk Bills football. Jordan Poyer is my guest. And then after that, we are wide open all the way until 11:40 when we have Michael Lombardi. So my advice to you, get in here. What do you want to talk about? You can't tell me there aren't things that you could cover today. Today's big thread is from people cracking on the World Series. Or I don't want to say people. Let's just say the JTP. This is what they do. They find that one thing, whatever it is, and they hammer it. Quote, Rome, even we think this World Series matchup is unappealing to watch. Signed, boxing undercards. Drew in West LA. You know, Drew. Boxing, the great equalizer. Or boxing undercards.
Diarrhea.
Anyway, don't go anywhere. When we come back, Jordan Poyer. Stay tuned.
It's coming.